Hey there, this is Rob G from Icons of Fright, FearNet, and Killer POV, and I'm sitting here about to record a fan commentary with my friend AJ Bowen, actor extraordinaire. What's up, AJ?
Hi.
From The Signal, House of the Devil, The Sacrament, some fine, fine films, none of which we're talking about today. Instead, we wanted to talk about one that is one of our favorite holiday movies, one I introduced AJ to, actually.
Yes.
Which is quite fun. So hopefully you'll tag along, because unlike most people, actually, no, let's start it, and then I'll start my argument. We've got our DVD queued up, and I'm going to count down from three, and then when we get to zero, we will all hit play at the same time, and let us enjoy Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2.
Because I already told them.
All right, ready? 3, 2, 1, play. There we go. And now we're off. Yeah, so both AJ and I do not believe in the popular term, so bad it's good. Movies are entertainment.
Eric Freeman, respect.
Right there, right off the bat. Movies are entertainment. They're meant to entertain us, and of all five, now six, Silent Night, Deadly Night movies, this is by far the most entertaining of the bunch. Whether you argue the merits if it's good or not, that's personal taste. But it's the most entertaining. And a couple of years ago, I was talking about this with AJ because you love Christmas horror. This is your favorite subgenre.
And already, as a brief side note, Freeman is already filling the frame with clear intent with that foot acting. But go ahead.
Okay. I mean, you're going to give us insight. I actually did not pick up on the stuff Freeman was doing until AJ pointed it out, and it's going to blow your mind. Seriously. The work that he does in this movie. We're not being, you know, silly about it. We're being serious. Like, this dude, I think the word you used is committed. He is so committed to the part that sometimes that just goes beyond good or bad acting. It's just like, if this person believes they are this person, then that's, you know, that shows in their performance.
Yeah, and the thing is, I knew that, like, we always make jokes, but if you recall when you showed this to me for the first time, what happened? What did I say?
Well, didn't you immediately
watched it once?
We put it on again, didn't we?
Put on a second time, and then I said, I need to keep this.
Keep this
for
a few days, yes.
And I watched it as soon as you left, so three times back to back to back, and it's because of this man.
Those eyes,
right here. Yeah, and like you were saying, I have a huge problem with ironic enjoyment. and what I don't have a problem with is Eric Freeman. And the whole movie, to me, if he wasn't at the commit, and look, this gentleman here with everybody's eye acting,
yeah,
in this is a marvel. Look, it's not gonna be Oscar worthy, and some people will certainly say, you know, it's an epic fail. I just don't see it that way. I'm being completely serious because it's so clear, all of the stuff that's going on with Freeman in this movie, all of his choices. And yeah, it's over the top. But if you gave me an actor that was an Oscar caliber performer, there's no way that they could pull the performance off that Eric does without it being a caricature. And Eric's so broad, but also so committed, that it, to me, the word that I used when we were watching it was like, this completely transcends. It broke my brain.
Yeah. And I mean, just so people understand the history of this movie, I assume if you're listening to this, you already know all this, because why else would you listen to us yammer about these movies? But so what happened was, the original Silent Night, Deadly Night came out, and there was such an uproar over it because of the depiction of, you know, a Santa killer and stuff like that, that it pretty much was pulled from theaters almost immediately. And it didn't really, I mean, it was notorious, and obviously years later it made its money on video and all that, but it didn't really perform the, you know, to its full potential as it should have in theaters. So immediately after, I don't know if it was the producers or the right holders or whatever, they actually hired the guys that ended up writing and directing this film to recut the first one specifically to release it as part two, just as a way to get it out again. So somewhere in that process, while they were recutting the film, which, you know, and we'll get into it because we're going to see a lot of part one, you know, they made a lot of editing choices on part one that probably should have been made the first time around. You know, they tightened the pace of the first one and made it not as mean-spirited as the first movie ended up being. and had a little bit of money, and they were able to kind of shoot this quote-unquote sequel footage. They were able to shoot some backstory for Ricky, which we'll get to later, and then all this new footage that we're seeing right here. So in that regard, this is probably the most unique horror sequel ever, because I don't know any other example. I mean, they use flashbacks in horror sequels, but I've never heard of one that has done this before. But yeah, this is fun stuff. I love the whole setup here at the beginning. And this guy's right outside the door, just in case. Kind of establishing how dangerous Ricky really is.
Ricky is far more dangerous than Hannibal Lecter. Because Ricky is a superhero.
He is. He pretty much is.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This guy. Oh.
Now, see, this is what I'm talking about.
The eyebrow acting?
Well, it's a weird thing. Like, I'm already stressed out about, like, do we not speak during garbage day? Or do we talk through it?
Yeah, this, you know, this is one of those movies that you kind of don't want to talk through.
Yeah, I know it's a problem for me. It's
like, we're actually enjoying ourselves a little too much here. But we should comment on why we love it as much as we do.
Well, we should also talk about something that anyone that is listening, I'm assuming that anybody that's listening to this has already done the journey, because it's not easy to begin with just to find this movie.
Yeah, I mean, it was out of print. I mean, Anchor Bay... I remember when this first came out on DVD, the big deal was that Anchor Bay acquired the rights to 2. So they were putting out 2, and everyone's like, oh, but you don't have the first one. And at the very last minute, they were able to secure the rights to the first one and do a double bill with 1 and 2. And it came out, and went out of print.
Thank you for buying it for me.
Yes, I found a used out-of-print copy, which actually had a scratch on the side with Silent Night, Deadly Night 1, and you're like, I don't care, I'm never watching it.
I already own Silent Night, Deadly Night 1. And the other thing is, we've talked about this before, I'm not a big fan of nihilism. So the original sort of exploitative nature of the first Silent Night, Deadly Night, it's not really my type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's got, I don't know, you know. Guys,
just in case you didn't know, it's December 24th.
It's Christmas Eve.
We got to set that up.
And he has a bit of an issue with the holidays. I mean, we all do, but Ricky's... his go to 11.
Yeah.
But for me, this sequel was something I'd known about since it came out.
Uh-huh.
And I had a hard time finding it initially when I was in junior high.
Mm.
I couldn't find it. And so I was like, all right, I'm put on the back burner. I'm going to wait. I'm going to hold off on this movie for a few years. So I'd known about it and then could no longer find it and was waiting forever until you brought it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't actually know that this was at least the first third of it.
Is part one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Yeah, see, I think here's my issue with, again, you said nihilism when it comes to part one. I mean, I saw one, I can't remember how I watched them growing up. I might have even like gone backwards from 3. Because I remember 3 was the one that was hitting video around the time that I was frequenting, you know, the video stores and looking for new horror stuff. And I mean, that movie... it's pretty crazy, the Monty Hellman one, with, you know, Mosley's got the fishbowl head. Yeah. And he's supposed to be Ricky, which is hilarious to me. And also, when I came back to 2, I assumed, you know, spoiler alert, I assumed that they were going to blow his head off at the end of this, because that's what part 3 would lead you to believe. There's no reason for him to have a thing over his head, otherwise exposing his brain.
There's also an extreme loss of muscle mass.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. Being in a coma for all those years, I guess. But so I kind of went backwards, and... I mean, you know, I could understand the notoriety behind the first movie and why it is what it is, but there is a really nasty mean streak, which is actually kind of removed when we see it in this one.
Strangely enough, yeah, it's a fine line, but which is a really strange thing to say about anything in the Silent Night, Deadly Night franchise.
This is true.
There's a fine line between the mean-spirited, exploitative vibe of the first one that's just not present in the second one. And part of it is that, again, I'm not making a joke here, a big part of that has to do with Eric Freeman. and the narrative coming from his angle of this beaten down character and and his broad translation of that.
This is the most horrific, probably one of the most horrific things you could see in a movie, is this little kid watching his parents slain. Now, here's the thing. In Silent Night, Deadly Night, you know, you just hear killer Santa, but really the bad Santa is actually this criminal at the beginning that escaped and is dressed as Santa. When his brother, Billy, is Santa Claus, he's punishing guilty people because those damn nuns drove him to it. Yeah, this is just nasty and mean-spirited.
So yeah, I guess Ricky is if anything, he's an anti-hero.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is sort of vigilante vibe, this Paul Kersey thing, but the difference being that he doesn't really have any friends.
Except his older brother. And of course, we have to note that it's kind of funny that Ricky's telling this story considering he's a baby crying in the back of the station wagon. But that there's Ricky right there. You have to assume Billy told them all about this while they were growing up. Yeah.
Yeah. God damn. Sorry for the blasphemy around the holidays, but fuck.
but yeah, to get back to my point, I think, you know, because the guy that directed this was an editor and chopped up the first movie to a different pace, here's what I think about the first movie, because I think there's like an interview or something with the filmmakers on the DVD. I got the sense that the guys that made the original were not horror fans at all.
They weren't. And additionally, just look at even the title, Silent Night, Deadly Night. That's the original U.S. title of Black Christmas.
Mm. Yeah, that's
so
true.
They sort of were and that one got, which is my all-time favorite horror film.
Yeah.
That one sort of was derided publicly in the same fashion that Silent Night, Deadly Night was. So they were sort of jumping on that bandwagon with the intent of garnering that sort of negative attention publicity.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell watching the first one that it was, I'd have to go back and don't, if I'm wrong in some of the details, don't quote me on this, but it was my understanding that the filmmakers behind the first one were like, you know, they were like everybody else, struggling filmmakers. They were probably doing commercials and stuff like that, and they were looking to break into features. And as everyone knows, horror is kind of a known commodity. You could make a low-budget movie and make money on it. And then at the same time, if you make something even remotely notorious, like this ended up being, then you know, you kind of have your foot in the door into the film industry. So the guys that made the first one, no offense to them, but it's obvious they're not horror fans because, you know, like there's that weird thing where people that aren't into horror assume that horror fans like weird, sick, twisted, you know, mean-spirited stuff. So I feel like the people that wrote and directed the first one were thinking, well, this is what horror fans like. You know, like they don't actually watch the movies or care about them. They just assumed, well, this is what they want to see, is this deprived, terrible stuff. So they made this whole movie, you know, that it was, you know, it's prevalent that it has all this negative stuff to it. Whereas the guys that did this, at least the director was an editor and kind of understood, look, we're recutting the first Silent Night, Deadly Night. We got to do something fun with whatever new footage we had to this. Because when I first showed this to you, it really didn't resonate with you until we get to more of the Ricky stuff at the halfway point.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was saying, like, I got to sit through the first one again. And that's unfair for us. And I certainly am not trying to take anything away. I watched a really pristine print of the original one about this time last year that Vespi owns.
Eric Vespi, and from Ain't It Cool.
And I was able to enjoy it a lot more because obviously I'm sitting in a theater full of friends who really love the first one.
Yeah. We're not trying to dog on the first one. We're just saying that from our perspective as horror fans, like both AJ and I are not the type that like kind of mean-spirited horror, you know? I mean, I want to be entertained, but I don't want to be depressed while I'm being entertained. So that's what we're getting about in terms of how we feel about the first movie.
Yeah, and as a side note to that, you know that holiday horror is like my favorite sort of subgenre. And like when it comes to, I now own, I think, every single one.
And why is that? Like, when did that start? Was that just a thing when you were a kid?
Kid, well, I think for similar reasons.
Because there's genre, not many. That's the thing.
There's more than you think.
Right.
And I think that some of it has to do with the concept of magical realism that occurs with the holiday anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, my birthday is on solstice, so Christmas was always sort of my holiday growing up because it's like 4 days later.
Right.
And so that coupled with, I think, you know, seeing Gremlins at a very early age, because that I was actually allowed to go see that one. So seeing this, I love the aesthetic, the combination of the aesthetic of something that's supposed to be warm and inviting and snow and diffusion. We've talked about it before. Like, if you take Bob Clark's two Christmas movies, if you take Christmas Story and Black Christmas, structurally they're the same. They're bookended the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But Christmas Story uses
there's a naughty scene here.
Well, a lot of this, there's a lot of this stuff where they had to do reshoots because they couldn't get clearance again to use the same film, so they had to reshoot a new pair of titties.
Yeah, it might have been the actress in the original didn't give them permission or some weird thing.
That's what it was. So there's some cutaways in this that they had to go back and do reshoots of. Those people do not occur in the original Silent Night, Deadly Night.
No. And Mother Superior, I'm sorry, this is the biggest villain in horror history as far as I'm concerned.
Which is weird.
Like, Billy didn't do anything. He was just walking around and he happened to catch these kids having sex. So now she's going to beat the hell out of him with, you know.
But that's good performance too, because there's some part of it where you're like, Mother Superior, I get it. I mean, firm but fair.
Yes, firm but fair. But I mean, you know, they know this kid's history. They know exactly what happened to him. So, like earlier before when he drew, like, the picture of, like, you know, of the Santa, like, dead or whatever, and they're like, that was very naughty. It's like, what do you expect? He saw his family killed by Santa Claus. Of course he's going to have this kind of effect.
This is why this Mother Superior is why I'm an atheist.
Well, you know, I didn't go to Catholic school. I went to catechism, which is when you leave, like, eighth period and, you know, go for an hour or two to learn about this stuff. And, oh, wait, I love this. He
Boom.
Was naughty.
There's more acting per frame. Look, my long-held belief is that I would give you more acting per frame than another no-name, no-value actor that makes mostly genre films. I'll give you more acting per frame. There's no way that I could ever step to the amount of acting per frame that Eric Freeman does. And on the one hand, so this seems like a contradiction of terms, because on the one hand, you're like, okay, well, that's overacting. There's some silliness. AJ can't possibly be serious about this guy. I'm like, okay, yeah, I get that. I concede that to you. But there's also a clarity of emotional truth, of the execution of the intellect and intent that comes out in performance that, yes, is really broad, is really over the top, but it's also so clear that no actor can do that. No actor's can do what this guy does. And we'll talk about it more when we get to Garbage Day, because that's when I really freaked out.
Yeah, that's the main scene where you pointed out stuff to me that even I can believe. But I mean, you know, look at it this way. Can you, and I'm asking you, our audience as well, can you possibly imagine this movie being the cult classic and the favorite with all the YouTube videos made out of it if any other actor played Ricky? Like, if there was anyone else that was playing this character.
We talked about that. If it had been someone that had more experience acting or that had a little bit more realism behind what they were doing, the whole movie would have failed. The tone wouldn't have been achieved, which is why we talked over and over again about transcendence. It transcends this concept, which is why I just want to say a big fuck you to ironic enjoyment or so bad it's good. And this was the movie, right? Where I was like, it's not so bad it's good. It's so good it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really believe that.
See, this is, I mean, first of all, I didn't know that nuns, like, you know, literally tied you to your bed. But let alone, it's like, you know what this kid's been through. Why are you trying to put him on Santa's lap? Like, oh, there he goes, knocking him out. Take that. And then poor Ricky, he's always got his brother's back.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to wrap this one thing up because I started talking about it like 5 minutes ago.
Uh-huh.
Christmas Story, Black Christmas. Christmas Story opens with the outside of the house. The snow is falling. There's Christmas lights. And you know it's a happy Christmas movie because the lights are diffused. There's a lot of colors and you hear nice Christmas music, right?
Mm-hmm.
Black Christmas, exterior of a house, snow, sharp white lights, only the sounds of winter.
Mm-hmm.
So structurally, it's the same director, but one's a horror film. And I think that keys into, answers a little bit what I like about Christmas horror.
Yeah.
Is because you've got this insane backdrop that taps into this nostalgia. Mm-hmm. And it's so it's just something that's always been really effective for me, the way that you can sort of get in and twist the screw with that. Mm-hmm. It's something that's supposed to be safe for everybody can become terrifying.
Yeah.
Just as simple as, like, if you were to be reductive about it and go down to aesthetics, blood on snow.
Yeah.
You know, but in a bigger picture sense of the word, all of it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because that's the one thing that's kind of been out there regarding the Friday the 13th movies. Like, for some reason, on the tip of everyone's tongue is like, I want to see a Friday the 13th in the snow. Like, why don't they do one that takes place in December? Just because the whole idea of Jason in the snow and, like, blood on the snow and all that. There's just something about that imagery that's kind of cool, I guess. See, I love that they skip everything right over to, you know, they skip him getting the job and working at Iris Toys and actually, like, liking one of the girls that works there. And actually growing up to be a giant that's, like, super, like, buff. And now they're just cutting right to, we're going to make you dress as Santa Claus. Information they probably should have told the owners of Iris Toys before they hired him. Just so you know, when he was a little kid, a Santa Claus killed his parents. So... Oh, and I love this. This actually is a comical, funny thing. I punish them.
Oh, shit.
All serious. And then, like, I feel like they almost... He's so great with the kids. Look at how quiet and satisfied they are. Like, they were almost tapping into the humor that the first movie could have had. If it didn't have such a mean streak in it, worked better.
It's like the thing that Ty said before about stuff, where it's like you hear one comedian tell one joke and they nail it. If you hear somebody else do the same joke, it falls flat.
Yeah.
People that don't make movies sometimes, or the people that just sort of watch them passively, are a little unaware of how much the movie's made in post.
Mm.
And I'm not even talking about sound correction. I'm talking literally in the edit. That the same footage cut slightly differently is a completely different film.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this proves that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, this is where I don't want to say I side with the killer, because that's a little awkward, but I think Billy's kind of the anti-hero here, man, because he likes this girl, and then she goes in the back with this sleazy dude who is going to attempt to rape her, which is the most awful thing you could possibly do next to murder. And Billy steps up. And as you're going to see in a second, her reaction to him saving her is like, oh my God, you're crazy. And it's like, he just saved you.
Yeah, the girl was being assaulted.
Yeah.
And she was like, fuck you.
I think if you're a lady that's being assaulted, I think if someone came to your aid and murdered your attacker, I would imagine that you wouldn't react. I mean, maybe you'd freak out, but I'd like to think you'd be like, right on, thanks. That dude deserves that.
Right on. Thanks for doing me a solid, bro.
Yeah. Thanks for taking out the trash. Also, was that Halloween costumes in the background a second ago?
Yes, there were several.
Oh, that's cool.
Didn't you know, the horror is all really just one world. This is right there, South Pasadena.
Mm.
This is the shop that Michael broke into and stole stuff from.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
No.
Did you look that up?
I'm completely bullshitting that right now.
Oh, okay.
I completely made that up.
I'm sitting here looking up names on the IMDb, and you totally got one over on me. Oh. See, he's going to, like, freak out and flash back to his mom, and it's like, to me, it's like he just wants to save his mom here. Naughty.
Oh, man. Look at that. One-arming homeboy.
Yeah, that's
look, I've lit,
intense.
I've put up a lot of Christmas lights in my 36 years, and those shits break so easy, yet somehow he has the most durable ones in the world. I can't even get half of mine to light up on the tree, but he can just wrap it around a dude
look
and pick
that.
Him up, and they stay lit. Also, what's up with what's with the noose in the back and the chains and all the murder materials?
There's some gnarly stuff in the back of this toy store. Just to justify him killing the owners of Ira's toys, let's just hypothesize that Ira himself here was up to some no good stuff with all those tools in the back there.
What's Ira's name?
Let me see. Looking it up. I'll let you know when I find it.
God, I apologize for the quality of this. commentary. Part of the problem is that we love this movie so much.
We're trying to pay attention and talk and not talk over it.
Oh, bye, Ira. Nice meeting you, Ira.
Oh, random fact. Don Shanks played the Santa at window in the archival footage. Don Shanks being the guy that played Michael Myers in Halloween 5. It's kind of radical. Ricky at 4.
I don't want to talk about Halloween 5 on this commentary. I'm sure Brian Collins already has a commentary for that.
Probably. Or at least 12 articles online.
Boom, boom. Ira.
Boom.
Okay, now
take that, Ira.
There's sort of like movie things that we never address, like, you know, the 555 phone number. I think it's becoming less common these days because of cell phones.
Mm.
But other stuff like that people don't, and Laurie did it in the first Halloween, which usually, like what just happened, somebody goes to the glass doors and they're locked and they shake them a little bit and they're like, ah, fuck, I don't know what to do. I guess I better die. And Laurie's like, fuck on that shit. I'm going to break this window and get out. And again, it's a Christmas movie, so magical shit happens like that right there. She got the axe. Now, for my money, of course, it would have been a short film, but I would have started burying that in his head. But that's also because I grew up watching horror. Oh, shit.
Boom.
Last of the Mohicans. You're right.
It wasn't. We agree with you, Ricky. It wasn't his fault.
I like thinking about what was he doing the moment before the cut point when he flips back around to tell him. He was telling the story to the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Blaming it on Mother Superior. You know she'll show up eventually.
You know that like this upcoming weekend, by the time you guys hear this, Thanksgiving will have come and gone, but we're getting up to Thanksgiving now. We were going to go see all of these locations that are not far from where I live.
Mm-hmm.
In L.A.
We still can.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think we go do this. I'm going to want to watch Linnea Quigley here for a minute.
Oh, yeah. Scream Queen Linnea Quigley. From part one, actually, so.
Let's just take a moment and marvel at the art on the walls. I know you guys thought I was going to say something else, but let's just look at this amazing wood paneling. And the tiger
drawing.
I want to live in this house.
It's pretty
and
sweet.
And not just because Linnea Quigley's there.
She heard... I
look
love
at his sneak up.
She heard the cat and then it's just like, naughty.
That door is made of marshmallows and newspaper.
Right? Have you ever tried to break... Oh, boom. That's a good gag, actually.
God, I would shit all over the place if Santa busted in doing this.
I just love... They're making a tremendous racket. And the boyfriend's playing pool, like, what are you doing over there? Oh. Yeah, I mean, maybe I should go check it out. Let me put my shirt on and check it out. But that is a pretty good kill, you gotta admit.
Do you know what this needed, right? Do you know what this first one needed? And this guy does a fine job. I'm not trying to make it sound like he doesn't.
Yeah.
But do you know what I would have liked to have seen in this role? Zabka.
Yeah, right?
God, this was born for Zabka.
Yeah, he would have been amazing. He probably had like Zabka-esque character. They were thinking.
We're seeing William Zabka types.
Yeah. If only we can get that jerk from Karate Kid and Just One of the Guys. Boom. Oh. I do like that he does put up a fight with Santa for a little bit.
You mean
Billy.
Like Terminator style? Like, don't make me bust you up.
Yeah, exactly.
Man.
It's exactly like that. I love that. Oh. See, I would not be calling anyone.
No, I would be
run
leaving.
Out the door, dude. Go get help that
I'm assuming
way.
The reason he didn't is because he was barefoot and it's cold and snowy outside.
That's a good... I like that you're defending the choices that the filmmakers
He's
made.
Like, I would go, but I don't have my parka.
Uh-oh.
God,
the
there's...
phone line.
God, I would really... I would have at least squeezed Santa's nuts right there. Yeah,
oh,
there
boom.
You go. See?
Oh. But it's all over because now I think...
He's
oh,
just
ripped the shirt off. Punish. And right out the window. Boom. Done. Nope, they were naughty.
Oh, no.
There are tons of videos on YouTube. Some of them, the amount of time that and effort that people have put into the stuff that they've put on the internet for this movie is amazing, is astronomical. There's a video just of all of Ricky's eyebrow twitches and stuff, which is like this montage. I don't know. It's like 5 minutes long of just all of his eye stuff. I mean, I kind of like the humor behind screwed up stuff like this. Because I don't know why. Like, I was talking to my friend Dick last night about this because he was just watching the first movie. And it's like they almost shoot. Not only they almost shoot this little girl's dad, but they completely ruined her for her the illusion.
That's how she found out. We all have the story about how we found out that Santa wasn't real. Hers is that the fuzz almost blew
killed
his
her
face
dad,
off.
Who's dressed as Santa. But yeah, what a weird movie. Yeah, Billy just wants to get back to Mother Superior. Take care of business.
Do you think that it pisses R.A. Mihailov off that these Santas have fake beards? Like, R.A. probably would really like to play Santa Claus.
He should. I mean, he did it once for, you know, me and Drew Daywalt did that Christmas short for Fangoria a few years ago. And, you know, and R.A. Mihailov, if you guys didn't know, is, you know, the guy that played Leatherface in Texas Chainsaw 3, and he was in Hatchet 2 with AJ. Really nice guy. And I remember he was a little reluctant when Drew and I approached him about, dude, we're going to do like a Killer Santa thing and you got to be it. I don't know if he like just like, why? Because I got a white beard. And it's like, dude, you got the greatest white beard I've ever seen on a man before. Like, you were born to be an evil Santa. And once he did it, he loved it. Like, we had a great time making that short film. And he's great in it.
Ari's a great dude, but I wouldn't really talk about this guy's haircut on the right.
That's far more important.
I wish I could grow that hair. That hair stopped existing in about 94. I think Dr. Giggles was the last time you saw a haircut like that.
Yeah. See, these guys kind of have it coming
too.
One
dude's just laying there. He's like, please stop.
Just stop pummeling me. I mean, did kids ever do this for real? Like, let's just go, like two older kids that have nothing better to do. Like, they don't want to go drink at, like, the, you know, the 7-Eleven. Instead, they're like, dude, let's go, like, beat up some young kids.
All right, you're from Strong Island, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I'm from Georgia.
Okay.
This kind of shit happened every day.
Did it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've never done this. I've never sled before.
I thought you were talking about getting your ass kicked.
No. Thankfully, I tried my best to avoid fights.
I couldn't because I was too handsome.
But I'm saying nobody.
So it made all the other big dudes insecure, so they would try to fight me because of my natural talent and beauty.
But they didn't fight you over your sled ever, right? I mean, it seems like a silly thing to steal. Lunch money, I guess.
Sled is a metaphor for artistic, indomitable spirit, you know?
I see. That's how you're reading into it, okay.
I'm reading into this guy's getting his fucking head whacked off.
I love this. This guy's face. Huh? Oh my God. That's pretty radical. I love it. Yeah. Oliver Knight, this poor. This is the one nun that believed in Billy.
Are we going to discuss when we're full into part two, which, by the way, we're almost into now?
Yes, I'm very excited.
Are we going to discuss how Mother Superior suddenly has either leprosy?
Yes.
Or.
We could.
I guess we just did. Yeah, Mother Superior. Oh, here's the other thing. In the outside chance, and I don't believe, we did a lot of research and did a lot of looking around. I even wrote on IMDb on the comment boards there. If for some reason you are listening to this, Eric Freeman, wherever you are.
Or if someone knows him.
I want you to know that this is nothing for you to be embarrassed of. That there are people out there that love you and appreciate your work that want to buy you a sandwich. Both of them are sitting on this couch right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, we try. You know what? Me and Mike C over at Icons tried, you know, because, you know, for the first several years of Icons of Fright, we would do interviews monthly. We do like 4 or 5 and make it kind of like a magazine. So naturally, December would roll around and we're like, oh man, we gotta try to find Eric Freeman because I don't think he understands how much people appreciate this movie. I mean, we're staring right now at a Fright Rags shirt, Garbage Day shirt, with an image of him that says Garbage Day on it. I mean, people love this character and his performance in it. Yeah, this is so screwed up too. But point being, we did try to contact him once. There was a phone number listed under his IMDb Pro account for a long time. And trust me, we tried, and other people on the internet tried. It just rang and rang and rang. No one ever answered it. There was never an answering machine.
You know
machine.
What we need to do? We need to get Michael Stevenson and to direct a doc about
yes.
finding Eric Freeman.
Let's do it. Let's get him on the horn. Text him right now. This is the kid from Troll 2 who made Best Worst Movie
and the American Scream.
Both excellent documentaries, which if you haven't
seen. I'm officially dropping out of the picture business for a while, and now we're going to go buy an RV and we're going to go find
Let's
this.
Do it. That's a doc. That's a doc I want to be a part of.
Sir Eric Freeman.
Yes. We have to. We have to find him and let him know. There's like that doc with those kids that were looking for John Hughes. This is more important than that.
And it really pissed me off. Like, you can, if you have the good fortune of being able to find this film, you're going to see on the DVD that there's a commentary from the guys that made this one. Mm-hmm. And there's stuff that's informative about it. And also the actor that plays the
psychiatrist,
the shrink.
Yeah, the shrink.
They're a bit glib about Eric. And while I greatly appreciate their film, I would like to say fuck you for that. Because if you guys had an actor that you deemed a little bit better, nobody would have ever seen this movie. This would not be anything
worth watching. It wouldn't have
amassed
the cult following that it has.
No.
People would dig it, but I mean, you know, a perfect example is how memorable are the other Silent Night, Deadly Night movies after this. This is kind of the one that everybody goes back to, you know?
Well, I'm just saying there's one with Mickey Rooney in it, so.
So I think it's four or five. I get 4 and 5 confused because those were both Brian Usna productions. And yeah. You know what's funny about those? They did what Halloween wanted to do, whereas Halloween with Part 3 wanted to make their annual.
Yeah, and it makes sense when you're talking about a holiday-based film.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of abandoned by 3. After 3, they abandoned the
and
whole.
We were talking about this recently with the Crystal Lake Memories doc coming out, that's what the TV show was like. They treated the Friday series as an anthology and had great success with that, doing that in syndication in the late night slot.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, in that regard, it's like there are people that are fans of the show Friday the 13th and not the movies.
Yeah.
You know, it's
my mom. My mom is one of them.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go.
It reminded her of Twilight Zone or like Dark Shadows.
Cool. I honestly, I was at that age where I was more a fan of the Friday movies. So I'll have to go back and watch the shows at some point. I think I have one of the seasons here.
I think I want to kickstart a remake of Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2, which is a remake, kind of the first one.
How would you remake Silent Night, Deadly Night 2? This movie's perfect as is. You don't need to remake it.
Yeah, I know, but I'm an egomaniac, so what I would do is I would cast myself in every role.
Every role? You want to be Ricky as well?
And Mother Superior.
Okay. I'd pay to see that. That is a Kickstarter I would support.
And I would also still want to do it exactly the same way as this one. So what I would do is, okay, you got Billy, you got Ricky.
I love it. just chopping off the snowman's
head. It's like they're all sitting there, and there's a glass door. No one's thinking to take that giant leather sofa and put it in front of it.
I know this sounds like really like not like I had a normal upbringing, but didn't you want Mother Superior to die here? I was like... He gets so close. I love that this kid opens up. It's Santa. He's here. We were talking over it, but I love the deaf guy that was playing Santa, and they shot him in front of all the kids.
Oh yeah,
it's just so awful. Ricky being the one that sees him go down. Stay away from Santa.
See that kid in the background? That big shit-eating grin.
Yeah, he's happy.
I will play that role too.
Again, I don't know why. I would want to hear all the stories of these little kids when they're, you know, grow up and be like, I witnessed Santa kill our nun. She's naughty. Do it.
Naughty.
Get her, Billy. There is no Santa Claus. Get her.
He just moved too slow. His body turned into slow motion.
You know, not for nothing, but he didn't even say freeze and shit. He just like took him down.
I wouldn't say freeze either. He has a big damn axe.
Yeah, but you could be like, freeze, and at least he'll
turn
around.
What are you going to say? You're going to go, hey, sir, stop.
You know, even to the end, Billy's like, don't worry, children. You got nothing left to fear. I'm done. I'm dead. Making him the most sympathetic anti-hero in...
Christmas Horror Story.
I guess this kind of, what was this, 87?
The original?
No, the original was 84.
84.
This part two was 87.
Let me check
they
that.
They kind of successfully jumped into the stuff that they were trying really hard to do with the Friday franchise.
Yeah, you're right, 87.
They passed the evil on.
Yeah, yeah.
They kept trying to do
there
that
with
people.
There you go. And they probably didn't have any inkling like of a sequel, like the whole, the way they orchestrated the axe just right at Ricky's feet. I'm guessing this is a different Ricky, by the way, because now, it looked the way it just cut as it was.
Yeah, there's a
up,
cut here.
Because now there's going to be a little bit with this Ricky. Naughty. I do love that there's three different Rickies in this movie.
Yeah, and we'll have to address that in a moment because the puberty that occurs for
Ricky. Oh, my God,
it's
amazing.
He molts from a little caterpillar to a beautiful Eric Freeman butterfly.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Here's what I'll give up to the filmmakers behind this movie. You know, make fun of it all you want, but I think it's pretty brilliant how they weave in and out of this story, this new story and the first, you know, the story of the first movie, like them, just as it gets to like a beat where, you know, he, you know, like right now he just finished telling what happened to Billy and then the tape runs out, you know, like just kind of like the structure of how they put this together is pretty impressive considering what they had to work with. And now it's all new movie from here on out. The second half of this movie is amazing. So there goes Ricky getting adopted by a Jewish couple that doesn't celebrate Christmas. So he'll never have to worry about celebrating that.
Wieners.
See, again, I like the tricks that they you know, because they probably went and shot this on, you know, that home footage on
this is something
over
that,
the weekend
the,
or something.
This is something that frankly bothers me about a lot of contemporary.
Real men wear black.
It's true. a lot of contemporary, not a lot, but there are contemporary indie genre filmmakers. Mm. I don't know if it's because of the digital age, but we've talked about this before. I have a problem with these filmmakers that think that they're fully formed. So if something's wrong, it's always somebody else's fault. Like, the producers didn't give me what I wanted. I'm just trying to do this for the fans. Mm. I see a lot of movies where they didn't take the time in this modern time to learn the pedagogy behind it. You can't mistake with this film the solid, solid editing that occurs in this. And we're talking just like sight lines, how they were able to cut three different types of movies into logical sight lines and to a flow is kind of a miracle.
Yeah. How terrifying are these nuns? I was always kind of creeped out by nuns.
His face.
I love that his mom doesn't see any of this, but she puts it all together when she sees him flinching at this red this red blanket. Because the color, the red.
This goes into some French New Wave, you know, the red balloon.
What's going to happen again later with the red umbrella, which is a classic scene. See, figures it out. Oh, my God. He sees red and then he's seeing red. Ricky had a really good upbringing. They thought about bringing him back.
You want to get pretentious?
Mm-hmm.
Talk about how this brings up some points about nature versus nurture.
Sure.
And whether we're born monsters, those of us that are monsters like myself, or if it's acquired through a shitty upbringing. Mm-hmm. And it is, whether intended or not, it's a really interesting thing that this second film brings up, is that he had a pretty good life.
Yeah.
Still came to the same conclusion as his brother.
Mm-hmm.
Now, someone can make the argument, oh, well, it happened when he was 3.5 hours old.
Yeah.
So he was still there for it.
From a baby to like 5, he saw all this shit go down.
Or maybe it's that his...
I do love. Okay, here's the new Ricky.
Who's this guy?
Let me look him up, because I also love that none of the three Rickies look anything like
each
other.
That's what I'm saying. This guy is really pissed at Jeffrey Combs for getting all his work.
Let's see, cast.
But what I want to know what age this guy is supposed to be. This Ricky is supposed to be.
This is Daryl Gilbo, and he's Ricky at 15.
Okay, so that's a 15-year-old. That is this that person right there is the same age that I am today, and I was born in 1977.
No, but wait, the kid that we just saw a few minutes ago, his name is Brian Michael Henley, and he was Ricky at 10.
So 5 years
has transpired.
This is
5 years later. 5 years later, and he's this
5 years later,
also,
he's 35.
I love his blonde little streak, by the way. I don't know if that's like a sign of like, oh, John Cryer does that. That's a teen thing to do.
It's just like, I just like that, you know, it's a very Teen Wolf thing because he's like Scott, right? And then he goes and kills a person.
Right.
And suddenly he's the wolf. The difference.
Oh, here it comes.
I've never told anybody this before. You know what's amazing about this movie? And Eric Freeman in particular, is that he has a voice twin. If you want to hear his voice twin, I recommend checking out this small band you probably haven't heard of called Megadeth. because the first time that I watched this, I was like, did they just ADR Dave Mustaine everything?
Yeah, that'd be pretty funny, actually.
Garbage Day.
It's coming. Yeah, see, I don't know if they specify how old Ricky is when Eric Freeman takes over. But yeah, this is the quote unquote first kill of Ricky's serial killer career.
Now, the other thing is that in this scene here coming up, and you'll hear this if you do the right thing and listen to the commentary.
So the real commentary.
The real commentary.
Not us talking about it, but
yeah. Apologies to Ryan Turek for talking about a movie we didn't make, much like every blogger does at every screening they host. But hey, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. These two people did not get along at all.
Mm-hmm. How does that happen?
Do you not get along?
Well, I mean, I know how people don't get along, but it's like,
how do you do it anyways?
All right. Like, you know, you're an actor, you've been cast, and you've had to have quote unquote love scenes with girls that you don't know.
Right.
Is there...
It's way easier with girls you don't know.
Okay. So is there like some... Do you assume... And look, we're not speaking for these actors. We're just being hypothetical here as fans. But I don't know. Do male actors do things where they get kind of creepy when they're making out with some chick they don't know? And maybe that's what happened here?
I try not to speak about things that I don't have any experience with. but I can tell you that Kane Hodder always got really creepy with me.
Oh.
Well, no, but what happens is that there's sometimes an energy and there's different types of acting performances. It's one thing when you don't have to be intimate, if you're just talking to each other. Mm-hmm. But once you have to get physically intimate, and that's a naturally really awkward thing to do in a movie. You hear it over and over and over again. But you're dealing with lights and crews, and it's a very technical thing. It is not fun. Mm-hmm. There are worse ways to make $100. But
yes.
It's not that exciting. And if you have different approaches, and just like in life, it doesn't matter whether or not you would be compatible. You still then have to go do this anyways.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. They're flashing back to...
I don't work well with actors that go all into method zone of believing. It seems to me like this could be one of those things.
Yeah. Maybe he was getting a little too method. But again, Ricky's flashing back to things when he was a baby. Boom. He remembers it.
Nice product placement. I saw some Fritos.
I wonder if this... I mean, this dude... I looked this dude up, and he looks like he acted for quite a while. I wonder if he ever talks about this movie. Like, I was Ricky once, too. At 15.
Is this Griffith Park?
Maybe. I don't know where they
shot. Some of this
it.
Is Griffith Park, this movie, and some of it is out, like, east of Pasadena.
Yeah. Yeah, This is the year we're gonna make the quest to find.
You know
the
what,
locations.
Guys? I'll tell you what we do. I'm just an independent film actor, but I promise you that when this thing goes up, there will be some pictures from the locations.
Yes, we will find them this December. That's the plan. I mean, you know, I don't know if I'd recognize the street where Garbage Day took place, but
oh, I will.
Okay.
I know it. I already have. I wrote it down. Like
oh,
like
oh,
like
you did find
year.
It.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. See, I don't know. There's a little bit of craft behind this movie. I like the reveal here. And then the boom.
Peace, homie.
Yeah.
Oh.
This might be a little excessive, but whatever. Get her done. Going back and forth. I do love. Now, I have to assume if you're out, this is just me, but I have to assume if you're out in a park having a picnic with a guy, it's probably not your first date. She's probably been dating this dude for a little while. Granted, he's a sleazy dude who tried to do terrible things, but I love that her first response to him here is like, thank you. Thank you for murdering my boyfriend.
And again, Ricky got that validation that Billy did not.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, thanks.
That's true. Yeah. Ricky was doing it right. Boom. Anti-hero.
And now Boring. His muscles must grow.
Oh my God. I now love
he
that.
Must gain power.
I love the jump between this and that. Freeman only did like one other role, right? Is that?
Yeah. Well, he did some TV.
Yeah.
And then he did, didn't he do a Delta Force movie?
Let me look that up. God, I hope so.
Red Car. Red Good. Car. Red.
Red Car.
There's nothing about Good this film point. That's subtle. I appreciate that because that's like a tone.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's like the whole movie's like that. God, I love it. You, Eric Freeman. Red Car.
Good point. Oh, cool. He did a lot of TV. He's actually, before this, he's uncredited as one of the kids from the original Children of the Corn. So I'll have to go back and look for him in that. And then television-wise, Just the Ten of Us, I remember that.
I don't think that anybody should ever be embarrassed for being in a movie.
He did an episode of Superboy, the TV show.
Yeah, he's Superman to me. I'm fucking on that Henry Cavill shit. Look at that. I want to see that guy played.
The last thing he's credited for is an episode of In Living Color.
91?
92. Yeah. I guess it's season 4, episode 10.
Look at it. What age is he in, according?
They don't say. Maybe, does he say it?
I don't know, man, but he's
Let's
got
just
some,
say 21.
He's got some Lou Ferrigno going on right yeah. here.
Because, by the way, Billy in the first movie, by the time he becomes Santa, is 18. So
there's some pretty serious time gap.
Yeah, I'm going to say he's 21 here. That's my guess. And again, if he just said it, then sorry that we fucked up that detail. But
there are some continuity issues that have. Apparently, the guy in the peak, in the London Fog thing, did a bunch of acting.
Mm. Yeah, this dude looks like he enjoys being a thug.
Everybody got the memo by this point. They're like, all right, Eric Freeman's dropping something special, and you guys better fucking show up. You better bring the eye.
Up.
You better bring the eye acting.
Step up and bring it. Yeah, this guy's really enjoying his job.
Again, to me, it's like there's nothing about Christmas that's subtle. And that's part of what works for me with this is like there's this broad... Just the same reason that Rare Exports is such a beautiful movie.
Mm.
Because it's like a Joe Dante, it's like an Amblin Christmas movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's got this magical realism and it still fits within the paradigm of the holidays where things are going to work out and and there's magic in the world. And there is definitely magic in the world of Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2 because Ricky is about to bend and defy the laws of physics and basic mechanics with... this very special.
Boom. We accept it.
What are you looking at, kid? Get out of my way. He's not in your way. You shouldered into.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be talking to Eric Freeman that way.
Clearly, mistake. Love it. And he's seeing red because he had what the red handkerchief or whatever.
Anytime that red shows up, it's bad news.
Yeah, that's like yeah. That's what sets him off.
Again, his ability to pick people.
I love this. Boom, trying to punch him.
What's this guy? This guy's a solid deuce. Deuce 25 that he's holding up?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, fuck.
Look at that. He's committed. This is it. That is those are the eyes of a murderer.
It's like, I got this umbrella. And let's see. I got this body that's made of body.
I guess this is
I'm
possible.
So strong.
Yeah, you have to be really strong to get that through a dude.
You know what that is? Is that he... Oh, and it still
That's
worked.
That's the best part, yeah. Great gag.
Okay, now here's my favorite part.
Don't you think the cops would find this dude and find it kind of peculiar? Like, somebody got impaled by a... Oh, wait, here comes the rain. But it starts all the way to the right.
Yes.
See the... Yeah. And then eventually makes its way to the left, too. That's great.
Hey, movie magic, man.
It is magic. This movie's magic. Any way you slice it. I hope some people are still listening with us. And if you are, you are brave, brave people, and we thank you. Because the shit hasn't even gotten real yet. The movie practically just started, as far as I'm concerned. The best is yet to come. Doctor's like sweating up a storm. Oh my God, there's no record of these incidents.
Look, all I'm saying is that a real actor can make that sweat appear. He doesn't have to get glycerin spritzed on his forehead. Oh, God.
Better hide the red bee. I love that. Oh, wait. It's not here.
Look at that hero shot.
That is a great shot. Oh, he wants to leave now. But nope. He's got more to tell. More story to tell.
Hello, me. Meet the real me.
Sweating Bullets should be the theme song to this movie. I'm going to listen to it right after. I don't have it on vinyl, but we should put it on right after. What?
This is a very Hancock thing, because we all know damn well that if Ricky wants out of this room, he's going to walk through a wall.
Yeah.
He just punched an umbrella through a human being's spinal column.
He could leave whenever he opened wants.
It. He's here by choice.
Yes.
He's just getting the record straight.
Yeah, because it's December 24th. I love this shot. It's not the 25th yet. Yeah, this is a great shot, actually.
See, that's the thing. Like, all these actory people these days that can be real in the moment, mumbly, Corey people, they can't do anything twice.
Right.
There's no sense of continuity. So, yeah, you could tell me that Eric Freeman's super broad and people will call him cheesy. He knows how to hit a damn mark and hit the light.
Mm-hmm.
He knows to... Oh.
Headshot.
Well,
That's her actor.
And who is it?
It's Elizabeth Catan, who I love.
Hello.
I love her. She was, obviously, if you're listening to this, you probably know. Friday 13th, 7.
Underrated, as far as I'm concerned.
Underrated. She's in that. She's great in that.
Oh, my God.
Look at that. Ricky and the motorcycle. Literally bumping into each other.
This is his greaser period. Like,
this
he's got
is
this
kind of
very Streets of Fire thing going on right now.
Yeah, this is kind of the greatest. I would argue this is the greatest romance in Silent Night, Deadly Night history.
He had those black high top Velcro Reeboks.
I like the little jazz music cue. Oh man, so gorgeous. I had such a crush on her growing up. Obviously from Friday 7, I remember that. And then this movie. And then she did Slave Girls from Beyond Infinity.
Yep.
She has a tiny part in Twins. Believe it or not, which I didn't remember. She plays a secretary in that. Another movie I own, which is really weird, is Necromancer.
Yeah, I love that movie.
You remember that one with her? Because I for the longest time confused it with Necromantic, and I own them both now. But I was like, Necromancer with the chick from Silent Night, Deadly Night 2? Oh, yeah, I got to have that.
If you don't live in L.A., I highly recommend coming here. And I highly recommend really seeing L.A., not Hollywood Boulevard. The reason I'm mentioning it is because they're driving through Griffith Park right now, and it's five minutes from my house, my neighborhood. There's so much in Los Angeles, especially if you're a movie nerd. It's worth saving up a little bit of money and getting a list of your 6 to 12 favorite movies that shot in and around L.A.
Yeah.
And spend some time. Like, go see them.
Uh-oh.
It's magic.
Speaking of magic, here is the love scene between Ricky and his girlfriend.
I remember when Swanberg and I shot one of these, and it was very strange.
Oh. Which movie?
Oh, no, we just shot it.
Oh, okay. Right. Of course.
For ourselves.
For yourselves. That's not going to end up in anything. Oh, well, knowing Joe, he'll make a movie out of it eventually. That will be the first scene. But yes... It might be Elizabeth Caton, now that I think of it. I might have said her name wrong. I always thought it was Catan, but...
Do you think it's Tawny Catane?
Yes.
Catan.
But look, that's quite something.
I feel it's inappropriate for me to talk about that. So instead, I'm going to talk about Eric Freeman's chiseled titties.
Yes, that is the other thing you could
look
discuss.
At what's, you know what's going, there is a confusion inside of Freeman, inside of Ricky.
Yes, he's acting right there. You could tell a conflict. He's in love with this girl. Who wouldn't be? Oh, man.
This is the best, could be other than Garbage Day, this is my second favorite scene in the movie.
This could be the greatest meta scene in a horror movie ever. This, I love the violence and stuff, and he's just all, look at how committed that is, that face. You actually like this? Yep, he does. Huh?
Again, I'm beating a dead horse. There is no confusion about what's going on in Ricky's head at any time.
No, you could read it right in his face.
And people can't do that. You can't be taught that. So you can refine it if you've got it.
These guys in the back. One of those dudes back there is the writer, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
The guy on the left.
The guy with the mustache is, yeah. Well done, sir. You did a wonderful job. I wonder where they film this, because it looks like it's like four rows. it's like a
classroom.
Like, yeah, yeah. It's probably one of these like studio like screening rooms.
This ain't getting nowhere near a studio, Rob.
Yeah, that's true. And they're just being jerks.
This is a community college theater.
This could be the greatest reaction ever when she tells him what the movie's about. I really like you. So she's kind of in love with him. And by the way, we're going to watch a movie about a guy that dresses up like Santa and kills people.
Me too.
Oh, man. Obnoxious.
You do not fuck with Ricky.
Yep. They'll get theirs. They'll get theirs.
Nah, it's not cool.
Oh.
I think he's like,
that reaction. And of course, and they're reusing footage from the first movie.
And it's actually Silent Night, Deadly Night. This is some Charlie Kaufman.
Oh, right. Punish. That's exactly. Yeah. It's pretty great. I mean, the balls to show. Well, you know, I guess they showed Halloween and Halloween 3, but it's not as epic and awesome as it is here watching the original movie. Not only that, but it's like a recreation of what happened when he was a little baby in the backseat of this car. Look at how gorgeous she is.
Okay,
I'm a huge fan.
The secondary Zabka.
Chip.
They should have just had two Zabkas in this movie.
Right?
Oh, this is remember, this is the one where he already did it.
Did he?
He does it more than once.
Yeah.
This gentleman
Chip
really
will
likes
look at the camera.
Chip likes communicating directly to the audience. He looked at it to check himself out and be like, okay, I look great.
Yeah. Did everyone dye their hair blonde back then?
I did, yes.
You did? I kind of did too, but...
Actually, in 87, my hair was blonde because I was 10.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh. Pledging eternal love in his car.
I would try. I'm not good enough to do this role.
To what, Chip?
Yeah, I couldn't, do what Chip does.
Why is that? What is it about Chip's performance that you cannot replicate?
Any of it.
Ruin his best sweater. That's a question.
God. What we talk about all the time, there's a sincerity level that has to be met. And if today an actor tried to play these roles, they'd be mugging to the camera. These guys are giving it 1,000% effort. Mm. They're trying very hard to be the best they can. This is why I don't need a movie to be the best movie ever made. I just needed to be sincere. I needed to honestly be what it is. I fucking hate winking at the camera. Only Burt Reynolds and Eddie Murphy can do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to see anybody else do that shit. I don't want to know that the filmmakers are trying to high-five each other about how cool they were. There's some inside joke about something. I don't care about that. I want a story, and I want a sincere one. It can be fucked up.
Oh.
Shh. Goodbye.
Naughty. your date's waiting, Chip. Shocker, by the way, but I just looked it up, and Chip, apparently, the actor that played Chip has never done another role besides this. This is his one-shot deal. She's all right, but I like you. Mm-hmm. Do we need to pause?
Luck like this.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Oh, we're back. Okay, and all right, we should be all back and running. Sorry, guys, we went to go pee. Not together, separately.
We didn't need to tell them that.
Oh, whatever. It's done is done.
They're not here. They don't have smell-o-vision.
So we're still in the theater with Chip.
God damn, Chip.
Kind of epic. Oh, and then Ricky just appears again.
In a different seat.
Ricky's sneaky. And he's enjoying the movie now.
He's being his true self. Are you ready?
That sweater, man.
Are you ready?
I want that sweater.
Hey, wait.
Wait, there's so much to say.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, if this is the first time, for some reason, if you're watching this the first time listening to this, stop what you're doing. Stop us. Delete it. And watch this without talking.
Yeah.
Because you are at the precipice of garbage day.
You've seen the videos. You've heard it quoted. This whole sequence actually is pretty
darn
amazing.
God, I bet Chip was such a fucking pain in the ass to work with.
He's doing a bit of, look at that. He's doing a bit of his eyebrow acting.
He's giving
as well.
Him the Noah Segan eyes.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Do not do that.
Yeah, I don't like when Ricky makes that look. Uh-oh. The hayride. Hey now. Look, the eyebrow acting back and forth is amazing.
That was a mistake. Oh, and the car's red.
Uh-oh. Falling for me. I like that. Oh,
shit.
Oh, it's on.
Welcome. Well, I guess Garbage Day hasn't really. I mean,
this is the pivotal
oh
moment.
Oh my God.
That sets it all in motion, though. Yeah, I don't know if this is. I don't know if the things that Ricky does are physically possible, but I don't care.
Magical realism. It's a Christmas movie. Anything's possible.
I don't. And that smirk. He likes what he's doing.
Bye, homie.
Peace. I gotta give it to him. At least they came up for the new stuff. They came up with some pretty good creative kills. So, in terms of franchise horror, at least they satisfy in that regard. And uh-oh, why does he keep seeing Mother Superior with his hot girlfriend?
Oh,
I would
eyes.
Never. I would never confuse those two. Punish.
Oh,
the gulp and the uh-oh. It's a terrible.
Wait.
Look at the
watch
passion.
The eyes. Watch the eyes.
The right. Pain and passion in
just
those eyes.
In. Fucking, that's some fucking James Dean shit.
He had to do it. He was angry.
Welcome
now
to
he's
garbage
gone.
Day.
Yeah. That's it. Oh, he's totally snapped now. This guy.
Okay. You're about to see a masterclass in clarity of intent from a performer.
Yes. This is you sold me on this. I totally agree with you when you pointed it out to me. That smirk. Now, if you look at the way that this cop's hat is put on, you kind of get the sense that something's about to go down. I love it.
You were way too close to
Ricky.
Yeah,
dude. You are obviously not a good cop.
He's a
security
officer.
Oh, yeah.
You're
terrible at this. Boom. Right through the head. That's what you get. Now Ricky's got a gun.
And not only that,
I love it. The score rises.
Laugh. Yep. And so, then a serious, little
totally
bummed out.
A little bummed out.
He's very unhappy.
But now determined. And then out of nowhere, there's going to be another laugh. Oh.
You should not have
come out with your beer.
You should have stayed inside. He would not have done anything.
Fucker. That was a poor decision, sir. And of all the times to take out your garbage.
Look at this fucking Michael Bay shit right here.
That is a really good one. Really good shot. Really good.
They pulled it off. Oh.
Worst possible time to do this, but.
Here you go. Welcome. Welcome to the party, guys.
Garbage day. Boom. Oh, man. There you go.
Look at, he's never even.
John. He's never fired a gun.
Look at this shot. Again, this shot. That was so good. Start moving again. There is a stunt coming up here.
That is unbelievable. Like, you might have to rewind it and watch it a couple times if you've never really watched it before. But yeah, you were the... Oh, and yeah, this is when you... This is when you, I remember you were able to break down Ricky from this. It's like,
she's got a red ribbon on, by the way.
Yes, but she says she's sorry. That's okay. You go ahead. You're not naughty.
A shitty movie? Wouldn't have had that.
Yeah, and then the smile.
And then you're like, oh, he's going to shoot her in the head. No. He wants children to be... Oh, look at this.
This is it. Watch this stunt, because when this car jumps on its two wheels, it almost... It's like an inch away from killing the stunt guy doubling for Ricky. Oh, look how close... He like kind of flinched.
6 inches?
Yeah.
6 inches?
That was super close. Like, that dude was almost killed. Imagine being killed and be like, I can't. Yeah, my uncle was killed on the set of Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. That would have been awful, awful thing.
I just love that this is like a straight up Western moment here. Like, he's walking off.
Yep.
And smoke, fire.
Here it is.
And then boom.
Here you go. You pointed this out.
This is a miracle of clarity of performance.
Watch
one,
his face. Laughing.
Two.
Maniacal. Serious.
Three.
Now he's laughing again.
Four.
You were like, look at his face. You can read.
Five. Six.
There's so many emotions.
Seven. There's at least seven clear thoughts there.
In that 8 seconds, there are seven distinct thoughts that are happening. Oh, this is it.
He's so enjoying his new toy that he has no idea the cops are there.
Yeah. This is it. He doesn't even care if he lives or dies at this point. That laugh. Somebody needs to market that sweater, because I definitely want one for the holidays. No, don't do it, man. The cops are trying to...
This is the most fictional part of this movie, because Los Angeles cops are not going to try to keep you from shooting yourself at the end of Garbage Day.
No. In fact, I don't know if they would give you a chance to... no bullets. Now, wait a minute. Is this how I remember it? Is he still talking to the doctor? Yeah, this is where he comes to the realization that he needs to take out Mother Superior.
Right. Eric Freeman doesn't smoke, and he somehow got the smoke out of his nose.
Yep. You could tell he's a non-smoker. I also love that he's carrying on this conversation with the psychiatrist, or actually more himself than anything, when we know, as we're about to reveal, oh, why you gotta ruin her headshot like that? She probably needed that. Boom, he's dead. Strangled him with the very tape that he was recording.
So then how was this footage found?
Oh my god, did you just pitch the next Silent Night, Deadly Night movie as a found footage movie? Let's remake part two. See, I like this. They're listening back to all the havoc. And now it's going to pan up, and there's totally going to be cops there like hours later. That's some good filmmaking right there. I like that. I like that plot device. No.
She had a stroke. Okay, that's also it. She got some serious leprosy.
Leprosy from the stroke. Yeah, that's what that did to her.
That's a lovely Christmas tree.
This is probably my favorite decision of the whole movie. We are listening to a Santa Claus that very obviously sounds like he's a Jamaican man. He definitely sounds like he's of black descent. Not to sound racist, but it just seems like that's what they're going for. And then when they reveal the actual Santa, this voice does not match.
It doesn't. It certainly doesn't.
What? Whoever ADR'd that.
The drapes don't match the carpets.
There you go.
At all.
I'm happy that they give Ricky his Santa costume. That's the only satisfying conclusion to this. Oh, and also I love that he does call Mother Superior to give her a little heads up, like, I'm coming, Santa's back.
Hey, what's up, homie? Happy holidays.
I'm just going to finish what my brother started a few years ago. But yeah, now he's in costume. He's calling Mother Superior on a payphone. It's nice that he has her number, unless he just looked it up.
He just he's a go-getter. I'm assuming he always had the number.
Yeah. Santa's back. Why is there not a Ricky action figure from this? There's got to be one of these small companies that, you know, at the conventions. Yeah, does that look like the voice that you, this guy right here, this sweet old man who has now been killed by Ricky?
It looks like M. Emmett Walsh.
Yeah, and that voice definitely
and
did not
match. And clearly they didn't get the same actress.
Yes.
So perhaps this is why.
Maybe that's why they did makeup was to kind of distract.
She looks like the dad from Braveheart. The king.
I think, they probably explained in the commentary why they couldn't get the other actress back. I think they actually did try, but I don't remember exactly what the scoop was.
Well, I mean, you know, to be like taking all joking out of it, there was a really negative stigma to the first one.
That's true.
And people hadn't, before the early 80s, people hadn't been spending too much time sort of like building groups. I mean, you're talking about satanic panic, like the mothers groups and all of these advocacy groups were getting together for the first time and protesting popular culture.
Yeah.
Protesting things, saying that they would take stuff away. They would take their audience away. Yeah. So I'm guessing that a lot of actors didn't want to be associated.
Yeah. Yeah, figure what is this is 84. And there was a huge.
Well, this is 87.
Well, this one was 87, yeah. But like the two cases.
And also,
you know,
they didn't have any money.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, the two cases I always. And it's fun to watch, you know, the original Maniac from 1980 and watching. There's tons of footage on that Blu-ray of people protesting it. And like people really freaking out over that poster. And then I don't know if it's on this disc. I feel like it is. I feel like the original. Oh, six, she lives at 666. How ironic! You're probably going to need that whiskey or wine or whatever it is you're drinking. Wine.
I think that's brandy.
Brandy. All right. There we go.
So says the sober.
That's
person.
A poster right there. Ricky's face in the in the doorway.
Have you seen the Shining version of that, where he's got the beard and the hat?
Who?
Jack.
Oh, they did like a.
There's like a mock-up Christmas for it. Anyways,
oh, okay.
I digress.
I didn't see that. That's interesting.
Ricky's entire bloodline has no problems going through doors, so...
It's an amazing, amazing feat and trait that they all have. Now, how do you feel? He is now over... Now he's overboard in terms of performance. This is it. He's letting loose.
He's getting free. Do you know how many eyebrow twitches that was?
At least two or three.
Well, so what my point is that he's having a damn seizure. He's losing the advanced part of the human experience. He's gone primitive.
Right.
He's now a machine. He's a Santa machine.
He's legit crazy. I love that this woman
that
still thinks
that just doesn't matter.
Wrong.
That just does not matter.
He's going to get you, old lady. They do at least try
still
to...
Still solid editing, though.
Yeah, yeah. They do try to drag this out as much as possible.
I question the lack of holiday decor in this house.
Yeah, they could have done a little bit of a better job with that, I guess. But
no, I'm just saying that Mother... I'm not blaming the filmmakers. I'm blaming Mother Superior.
You don't think she celebrates Christmas anymore after the whole ordeal?
I think she's an unpleasant human being.
That's true. Then again, she's in a wheelchair now, so...
Unless I mean, she's not help. Really going to put her own... But she's having no problem moving furniture around.
Mm.
Oh!
Come on. You know, if you talk to Eric Prince, he was probably having a blast doing this. Not just the movie, but this part must have been so much fun for him to do. I can't imagine that there's stories from this that like, oh my God, it was so hellish. I hated having to dress like Santa and chase this little old lady.
I love Eric Freeman.
We are your fan club. I'm telling you, if he came out of hiding so we can show him how much we appreciate him. I know there's tons of horror fans out there that agree with us. Tons.
I don't like conventions. I won't be a part of them. I like the idea behind talking to people about movies that you love, but I don't like the exploitive nature of them.
Yeah.
Sometimes. I don't know that I'd want to see Eric Freeman at a convention because I wouldn't want people to... I wouldn't want to see him being exploited.
Mm.
But I want to buy him some food. I want him to go to a screening at CineFamily or New Bev and see that there are people that legitimately appreciate the work.
Yeah. Were you there last year for this?
Yeah.
Because every here in LA, every year, the New Beverly is kind enough to show Black Christmas, which is arguably the best, not only one, it's probably the best Christmas horror movie. It's in my top 5-10 of all time horror
It's
movies.
My favorite horror film.
Yeah, it's a great movie. And even though I own it, I never watch it because they show it on the big screen every year and I feel the need to go see it that way. But anyways, they always pair it up with another holiday-themed horror movie. And last year, much to our shock, the New Beverly found a prints of Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. Usually they paired it with the first one or something else.
Or Silent Night, Bloody Night, which Bloody is Night, just yeah. an abhorrent pile of crap.
Yeah, that's not as not a good one to pair it up with. But, I mean, I've loved the movie. I've shown it every December to a group of friends. But it has never played more like gangbusters than last year at the New Beverly. I mean... packed house, good chunk of people had never seen it before, and again, I think people appreciate it. I mean, sure, they were like laughing and having a good time, but I don't think they were doing it ironically. I think they were thoroughly entertained, and that's the thing about the New Bev audience is most of the people that go there love movies, so they're not laughing at the movie, they're just kind of having fun with it. And again,
eyebrows.
I would love nothing more than for Eric Freeman to be at one of those types of screenings and to see how, you know,
Peace.
How much people enjoy this. Yeah, Mother's... Now, keep in mind the way that he swung the axe straight down to pretty much chop into her head. Because when they run upstairs, when the cops here run upstairs to find her, you'll see the way her head comes off doesn't match with the way he killed her. Now, by the way, the only cop that's not in uniform.
The detective.
I have to believe that this guy grows to become Robert Culp in Silent Night, Deadly Night 3.
You think
because,
so?
Yeah, because Robert Culp is in and he says, Ricky Cowder, I was there when they blew his head off or whatever. So I'm guessing that he is the detective that, I would guess that's the same character. And, you know, there is some merit in Silent Night, Deadly Night 3 if you have not seen the sequels after this. Oh, boom.
No blood. So he managed to clean all of her blood out.
Ricky's amazing. Oh, and he's going down. Still laughing, getting shot through the chest.
Mastery of his body, too, Freeman as a performer.
And he's still screaming, lifting the axe up. There it is.
Some major squib that he took to the abdomen right there.
Yeah. It's a good effect.
I like the Last Supper is on the wall.
Yeah. You know, and I kind of like the music. I like this little piano theme that's in both movies.
It's got this great sort of like 70s, 80s made for TV. That sounds like an insult, but it's not. Like
No.
It's got this great sort of vibe that only existed during this decade.
Yeah. Oh, and she wakes up. Can't remember if there's a tease for a third one. Does Ricky open his eyes? I think he does. It's been a little while since I've seen it. There it is. And he smirks. Oh, and that last shot of the knife coming through. Amazing, amazing movie.
So, in summation, what do you think?
I honestly, again, like I said, movies are entertainment. I cannot think of a more entertaining 90 minutes than this film, especially around December, you know? I mean, because, like, you know, October rolls around, people start watching every horror movie under the sun, and some of it's questionable, but in terms of Christmas horror, this is definitely up there as one of my all-time favorites. And I love seeing it. I love showing it to people. I hope if you're listening to this that you will share it with friends as well. It's a great audience movie. And there's just not enough nice things I could say about it. And again, thank you, AJ, for joining me. I mean, if you're listening to this, I thank you because I know you have you either have a lot of time on your hands if you give a crap what we have to say about this movie, or you as well are a firm fan and believer in that this movie is really good stuff. So I always have a blast watching it. And I hope you guys did too.
Yes, it's a special one.
It's special. And you know what? Since this is, I think this is probably, I mean, Black Christmas is without argument the best. But in terms of entertainment value, this is probably my favorite like Christmas horror movie.
This is in my big four or five.
Big four or five. Now, since you are a huge, since that is your area of expertise, the subgenre you love the most.
Yeah.
Why don't you hit us with your favorites? What are your recommendations? What are the best Christmas horror ones we should look for?
New school, I'm gonna have to say Rare Exports. At this point, most everybody's seen it.
Yeah, great one if you haven't, but definitely
it's got
check
a,
it out.
It's got a great, it's first of all, the Norwegians are just dropping something special right now. It's got a really great visual element. Just everything's like out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
Home run on that. Obviously, Gremlins.
Gremlin, yeah, it's one of the best ones. I love when that came out that was disguised as a kid's, you know, it was kind of disguised as a kid's
Dante
movie. And I remember going to see it as a really, really young kid. And like they put a gremlin in a microwave and blew him up. It's like parents were horrified and shocked that that was what was in that movie. And they run over Dick Miller and his wife. I mean, granted, they came back for the sequel, but we didn't know that was going to happen.
I'm going to go, if you want to go minor, that yes. doesn't make the top of the list, but uh-huh. it's one that people, I'm always fascinated. I'm really interested in movies that use Christmas as an aesthetic tool.
Uh-huh.
Again, it's part of what I love about them. And a lot of people don't realize there are a lot of movies out there that are kind of Christmas themed. You want to go minor,
mm-hmm.
A movie that I saw in theaters the day it came out,
mm-hmm.
Jaws the Revenge.
Oh, that's a Christmas movie?
Hell yes, it's a Christmas movie.
Oh, man.
It starts off with children carolers singing Noel
that's
while
right.
Sean Brody gets his damn arm ripped
that's
off.
That's
right.
And
they have Christmas in the Bahamas.
That's true. That's pretty crazy.
But I'm a big fan of the Mickey Rooney one of these because it shows you like 93, 92, 94 when it was made.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal clear. But yeah, I've got to say this one, and obviously Black Christmas. Black Christmas is a movie that so many people are unaware of its importance in our genre. They would not have ever seen Halloween if Black Christmas didn't
yeah.
exist.
Everything came after that one, slasher-wise.
There are at least four subgenres from that film. Mm-hmm. So, anyways.
Yeah, the movie's over, but again, thanks for joining us.
Happy holidays.
Hey, I'm going to also throw Scanners 3 out there because it opens at a Christmas party.
Yep.
So that totally counts. I'll probably do one of these for Scanners 3, just so you know. But hey, thanks for listening. Again, you could find me at FearNet. I also still do some stuff at Icons of Fright, which is most likely where you will be hearing this. And I host a weekly horror podcast called Killer POV.
It's good. People should listen to it, especially when I'm on it.
Geek Nation and iTunes. It's free and it's fun. We get to chat about stuff like this all the time. So thanks for joining me, AJ. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening, everyone. And Merry Christmas.
Feliz Navidad.